you all once again for coming. The answer, the real answer to the question, which is what is the connection between Sherev Brachos and this week's parasha, is found in the Torah tells us in the beginning of Parashas Vayetze that when Yaakov attempted to marry Rachel, so obviously we know that he was deceived by Laban, and as such, he realized, it says, he realized that it was Leah, and he nonetheless was still interested in marrying Rachel, so he wanted to marry Rachel right away, to which Laban said to him, Male Shavua Zos, wait a week, and I will give you also my other daughter, wait another week, and I will then give you my other daughter in return for the work that you will do for the next 7 years. So really Yaakov was obligating himself to work 7 years in order to get Rachel, but yet Laban told him, you also have to wait a week. So this whole incident is cited in the Chazal as a basis for the idea that there should be the week of a marriage, that the chasan and the kala should spend the time solely dedicated to each other, the shivas yimei hamishteh, and as such there should be, we have halachas that a chasan or a kala for that matter are not supposed to go to work during that week, they're supposed to spend the time rejoicing together, and thus we have the basis for the idea of having days of celebration. Now that is not directly speaking about Sheva Brachos. However, the Chazal tells us further, the Gemara tells us, Maseches Ksubos, we'll get to in a minute, the Gemara says that the Chachamim were misaking seven Brachos that should be said at the time of a meal that takes place during this week. So in other words, during the week of celebration between a Chasan and a Kala, there is a Takana, there is the rabbis ordained that at a meal which takes place with the presence of a minion, which we'll soon see, with the presence of a minion, so then the Sheva Brachos should be recited. So therefore we have the connection in yesterday's parsha. It's actually a direct reference to the 7 days of celebration, but nonetheless the idea of Sheva Brachos is in conjunction with that. Okay, so what I would like to speak about today, we all know that from time to time we get invited to attend a Sheva Brachos celebration, or perhaps it's for one of our own. And there are shy, as much as it's a festive event, but there are sometimes halakhic considerations that come in to the situation, and I would like to discuss one or two of them today, which come up often, and sometimes on the spur of the moment we get caught flat-footed and we don't quite know exactly what to do. The main thing I would like to speak about today is the idea that we know the halacha is that in order for the Sheva Brachos to be recited at a meal in the week following the marriage, so you need what's called panim chadoshos. Panim chadoshos means that there has to be literally new faces. There have to be new faces at the event. So the basis for this is found in the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos. We have it here on the handout. The Gemara says at the very bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Beis, earlier on the page, the Gemara said that the Sheva Brachos require a minion. And now the Gemara says an additional requirement. In other words, the requirement of a minion makes it that if there was a meal that took place, and at that meal there was not a minion, so then the Sheva Brachos would not be said. But now the Gemara tells us two lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbana, Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva. Okay, so here we have it, the quote that the Birchas Chasanim, which is the Gemara's reference, the metaphor the Gemara uses for the Sheva Brachos, these Brachos are said Ba'asara, provided one has a minion, Kol Shiva, for 7 days. Now it should be noted that before we go further, that the idea of Sheva Brachos is only for 7 days. It's only for 7 days, and the 7 days, there is a question when exactly the 7 days begin. But the consensus opinion is that they begin from the chuppah. So in a winter wedding, it would be relatively simple because the chuppah, everything, the entire wedding takes place at night, which is already halakhically the next day. So theoretically, if a wedding were to take place, let's say, on a Wednesday night, so then the Sheva Bracha, that night, the chuppah counts as one. That counts as the first day. So beyond that, you go six more days. So in other words, the Wednesday night wedding, in other words, Thursday would be day one, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So Tuesday would be the last, Wednesday, Tuesday. Again, Wednesday night would be the first, so then you would have, that counts as Thursday, so then you have Friday would be day two, Shabbos would be day three, Sunday would be day four, Monday would be day five, Tuesday would be day six, and Wednesday would be day seven, meaning that if you had Sheva Brachas at night, the last Sheva Brachas you could have would be on Tuesday night. Now there is no halacha that the Sheva Brachas can only take place at night, it can take place during the day also. So therefore, theoretically, it would go even into Wednesday. But once it's already the sunset of Wednesday, it's too late to have the Sheva Brachas anymore. You can celebrate as much as you want, but you cannot say the Brachas. The Brachas are only said for these 7 days of celebration. So therefore, so far we have two halachas that the Braisa tells us. Number one is that you need a minyan, and number two is that it goes for 7 days. Now comes the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Vehu shebo panim chadashos." Says Rabbi Yehuda that this law of reciting the Sheva Brachas is only applicable if there were panim chadashos, if there were new faces. Literally, what does it mean panim chadashos? So here there are a vast array of opinions, and it gets a little confusing. Rashi, if you look at the left-hand side of the page, Rashi says, Panam Chadashos b'chol yom shelo hayu sham esmo. Panam Chadashos means somebody who was not there the day before. Meaning that it has to be someone who's completely new to the situation, even a person who was not at the wedding, okay, which we'll see what part of the wedding you had to have been at to be disqualified, but let's say a person was not at the wedding at all. So the question is, can they serve as Panim Chadashos several times? Can they be the Panim Chadashos for different days? So, first thing we see here from Rashi is that it has to have been that you were only there once. In other words, this is your first appearance at the Simcha. Okay, now, what is the idea of Panim Chadashos? So if you turn over the page for a moment, on the top we have a very, very interesting Rambam, that the Rambam in the Hilchos Brachos says something which is surprising. The Rambam says that Bracha Zu Shemosifim Bebeis Chasanim, right, the Rambam says, he speaks about the Bracha that is added in the Beis Chasanim, which the Rambam holds that even if you didn't have a minion, you could say the last bracha, but I'm not going to get involved with that. If we skip down a couple of lines here, the Rambam says that he says two lines from the end of the quote. He says, "Aval and Hayu ha'ochlam acherim," that if you have attending one of the days, actually, I have to go before that. "Bamed var mamur," says the Rambam, "kishehayu ha'ochlam hein she'amdu b'birchas nesuin." That when do we say the Sheva Brachas? That's if the people who are attending this Sheva Brachas meal had they been there at the time of the wedding, b'shamu ha-brachos, and they would have heard the brachos, then they would have been disqualified. Im hayu ha-olchem acherim shelo shamu birchas nesuin b'shas nesuin, says the Rambam. However, if the people attending this event were not present when the brachos were recited at the wedding, then mevarchim b'shvilan achar birchas hamazon sheva brachos. Says the Rambam, an interesting thing, that the din of saying the sheva brachos when you have new people, who's considered a new person? Says the Rambam, somebody who was not present when the brachos were made originally, meaning somebody who was not at the chuppah. If a person was at the chuppah and he heard the brachas already, then that person would be disqualified. But if the person was not at the chuppah and did not hear the brachas, that person could count as the quantum chadashas. Which means that if we went by this ruling of the Rambam, it would come out that if a person came late to a wedding and missed the chuppah, but yet came and sat at the meal, they could still count as quantum chadash. So rules the Rambam. What's the reason for this? So it seems, the way it's explained by the Mefarshim, is that in the Rambam's view, the whole purpose of the Sheva Brachas is that there should be brachas given to the chassan and the kallah. And the Rambam holds that that is an obligation. Every person who comes has an obligation. Any person who participates in the simcha of a chassan and a kallah has to give them brachas. Has to give them brachas. And it's an interesting quote that I saw from one of the gedolim, I believe it was from the Brisker Rav, who said that, you know, people go to weddings and they dance, and, you know, in our times especially, we get all excited and dance up a storm. He said, but with all of that, the main thing of Simchas Chasam Akala is to give them brachas. Is to go ahead, and every person could do that. Every person, go give them a bracha. You wish them well. You know, sometimes a person goes to a wedding and then has to leave early, a very common occurrence, and leaves without going over to say a word to the chassan and kallah. But, you say to yourself, well, I danced, so that was okay. It may be so, but says the Brisker Rav that a very, very large part of the Simchas Chasam HaKalah is go give him a bracha. This is a special time, the beginning of new life together. Go say some nice words to them. But the Sheva Brachas in particular were ordained for that reason. Okay, especially the last two. If you look through the Sheva Brachas, you might wonder, if you look at the seven brachas, really the first five of them have nothing to do with the wedding, one of them perhaps the fourth one, but the last two in particular are designed to give brachas for this new couple, and said, so the Mefarshim say that the Rambam holds that that's an obligation on every person, and therefore if you were there at the chuppah, so then whoever said the brachas said it on behalf of everyone present. In other words, in the Rambam's view, the idea of having the Sheva Bracha said is that everybody has a responsibility to give them a bracha. So whoever gets the honor of reciting the bracha under the chuppah is really saying it as a shliach for everybody. So if a person hears that bracha and he says amen to that bracha, then he has fulfilled his requirement to give a bracha to the chassan and the kallah. However, if he was not present at that time, so then he still has the obligation, and thus, if he came to a meal held on one of the subsequent days, then he has to give the bracha then. So therefore, the Rambam holds that the definition of the Panim Chadashos is somebody who was not there when the brachas were said. That is his opinion. However, that is not the consensus opinion. The consensus opinion follows, and here, interestingly, even the Sfaradim follow an Ashkenazic psak, and we find here on the bottom of the page, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Osher, says, and I tried to mark it off, and he says that who is considered the Panim Chadashos? So he says, Tana Rabbanan, Birchas Chasan, Kol Shiva, Amr, Rabbi Yehuda, Vushabam, Panim Chadashos, says the Rosh, the direct opposite of the Rambam. The Rosh says that no, even if they were there at the chuppah, it doesn't matter. It has to do with, have they eaten yet? Have they yet eaten at this celebration? If they have not eaten at this celebration, then they qualify as the Panim Chadashos. And he says further, Venira the lo mikru panim chadoshos el b'nei adam shemarvim b'shvila simcha yosef. Says the Rosh that the rule, the basis, the guideline for what's considered panim chadoshos would be a person who did not yet participate in the meal, and this person's presence makes it that the meal will be enhanced. In other words, because this person comes, the simcha will be greater. Now, here he just says that the simcha will be greater, but then he proceeds to say It's a little hard to read it here based on the sefer was bound that I copied it from, but he says v'shabbos chashuva ponim chadoshos, that Shabbos counts as ponim chadoshos. Right? We have a halacha that if a person attends a sheva bracha that's held on Shabbos, so at least by the two main meals, the night meal and the day meal, you don't need to have ponim chadoshos. You don't need. I was not that long ago. Someone made a sheva bracha. Someone who lived near me, and they needed ponim chadoshos with Shabbos day. They came to my house to call me. And I said, I'd be happy to come for a piece of cake, but you don't need such a thing because you don't need ponim chadoshos on Shabbos. That is the halacha. That applies to Friday night and Shabbos day. Why? Why don't you need ponim chadoshos on Shabbos? So the Rosh says, he proceeds to say, the reason is because he quotes from the Medrash that the Medrash says, Mizmar Shil Yom HaShabbos, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ponim chadoshos bo lakan. That when Shabbos came into the world, so God said, this is a new experience. Panim chadashos, this is a new experience. But the Rosh adds, on a practical note, v'derech laharbos b'shabbos simchu umanos. That since on Shabbos, typically, at the meals on Shabbos, we have additional food that we don't have the rest of the week. So therefore, Shabbos counts as Panim Chadoshos because you have, the simcha is greater. The meal that you have is more elaborate than what you have during the week. So it seems, if one reads through this Rush, you will see that it seems that according to the Rush, the baseline that we go by as far as determining Panim Chadoshos would be that it has to be new people, except for Shabbos, when Shabbos itself counts as a new arrival. It's a new arrival. It's Shabbos came. It has to be, but during the week, it would have to be the arrival of a new person, and it would have to be that because of the arrival of that person, the simcha is expanded. This is the opinion of the Rush, and the Shulchan Aruch that's brought, the Shulchan Aruch says, that this b'chein haminhag, the Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, brings both opinions, the opinion of the Rambam and the opinion of the Rush. And here he says that the halacha is that we follow the opinion of the Rush, and this is what we go by. And thus, if a person attended a wedding but missed the chuppah, but was at the meal, so the halacha we would say is that person could not count as panim chadoshos. However, if a person attended the chuppah and did not stay past that, if a person, which commonly happens, people come just for the chuppah, or, for example, if a person just came in to wish mazel tov and then left, so even though the person was there, but the mainstream opinion seems to be that person could count as the sheva brachos. This is the machlokas that we have between the Rishonim, and this is the halacha. The halacha would follow the opinion of the Rush. Now, the question...
Yom Tov would be like Shabbos, right?
Yom Tov counts as Shabbos, but not Chol HaMoed. Yom Tov counts as Shabbos. If you have a wedding right before Yom Tov, you don't need Panim Chadoshos then either, but on Chol HaMoed, you would need. Okay, yeah. So
how much do you have to eat?
So what do you mean? How much does the person who comes have to eat?
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. So that we'll see. So now the rule is that a new person who comes, but it has to be that because of that person, the simcha is increased. So the question is, who is included in that ruling? Now, commonly, the practice is, I've seen this many times, that you come to a simcha and at a sheva brachas and you invite the close family and friends come to attend the celebration, and when it comes time to bench, they look around and they say, oh my goodness, we don't have panim chadoshos, and they'll go out to the street and pull some person who happened to have the good fortune of walking down the block at that time, gets pulled in to attend the sheva brachas. So the question is, does this conform to the guideline? Because the guideline that's set by the Rush is that it has to be a person who increases the simcha, whose presence increases the simcha. So that the shaila is, who would be included in that? So if one looks through, there are a whole host of opinions on this. clearly, there is no question that if you had a person who was known to the Baalei Simcha, a person who was a friend but for whatever reason didn't make it to the wedding, or a relative for that matter, so then that person clearly would qualify as the Panim Chadashos. If not that, then if it was a person who was some sort of dignitary, maybe the rabbi of the shul or somebody like that who happens to be there, so his presence also increases the simcha, hopefully, increases the simcha, unless he gets up to speak. His presence would increase the simcha, so that was just a joke. So that would make it also a type of panim chadashos. What would be if the person was a total stranger? So there is a question. There is a question. In other words, it seems that the best thing would be to have either one of the Baalei Simcha or to have some sort of dignitary. If not that, then at least if the person was some sort of acquaintance. But if the person was not an acquaintance at all and it was just a stranger, so for a stranger there is a very big question whether that person can count as Panim Chadashos. Now I will tell you that the Minhag is clearly, people are very lenient on this and they'll pull in just about anybody. And there are those who say that it seems, from what I saw a very, very interesting thing. I assume it's reliable. Someone who's close to Rabbi Yashiv, so he asked him, what does it mean when we say that because of this person, the simcha is greater? So it seems from the rush that because of the arrival of this person, we make more food. So this person asked Rabbi Yashiv, what does that mean? That means that because of this person, you can go cook a dish that you didn't make previously. In other words, if we weren't going to serve, apple pie, but now that you came, we're going to have that. So he said, no, that's not what it means. What it means is that the arrival of this person, that had the cook known that this person was coming, they would have prepared an additional portion for this person. That they would have prepared, in other words, it doesn't have to be when it says that marvim ha-simcha b'shvilo, that the simcha is greater, and in the rush it seems that it has to be that it's greater in terms of food. So apparently Rabbi Yashiv said that it doesn't have to mean that you'll make a new course, it just means that you would have made an additional amount, you would have counted that person in. So he was asking, then who wouldn't be considered panim chadashos if that's the case? So the response was that somebody who was, well, let's say the waiters, right? He said, in other words, if you had a catered event, a catered Sheva Brachas, or a Sheva Brachas in a restaurant, and you have, then they realize we don't have anybody, so the waiters would not have been included in the cooking because they work there. So you say, well, we need Panim Chadashos and we don't have, but alright, this waiter, let him be one of the Panim Chadashos. So that, it seems, according to all accounts, would not be good. But anything better than that, it seems, according to his opinion, again, this is a chiddush, he says that anything better than that would count as panim chadashos. Others are definitely stricter. Others say that it would have to be a person who is in some way, his presence increases the simcha. They say over a story that there was a Sheva Brachas many years ago held in Bnei Brak in the presence of the Chazon Ish, and it was held in the Slavodki Yeshiva, which exists to this day in Bnei Brak in Israel. So it seems that at the end of the Sheva Brachas they realized that they didn't have any Panim Chadashos there. And it was late at night, and in those days Bnei Brak was not like it is today, and there weren't that many people walking in the street, so they were looking around, they sent somebody outside, finally he found the person just happened to be walking down the block, and they collared him, he should come in. So the person came in, so at the table where the rabbis were sitting, so it became a whole, so the Chazon Ish said, I don't know if that's good enough, because nobody, the Chazon Makal of Simcha, they don't know who he is. So how could we allow this? So the Rosh Yeshiva of the Slobodki Yeshiva at that time, a man by the name of Isaac Sher, who was followed the tradition of that yeshiva that they preached the Gavus HaAdam, the greatness of every person, So he got off on a whole rant. He said, "What do you mean? Every Jew is so precious. Every Jew is so important, and it's worth. Even though we don't know who this person is, but it's worth the fact that this person came enhances the simcha because every Jew is so great." So the Chaznish said to him, he said, "You're right, but the truth is that shmuz you shouldn't be giving to me. That shmuz you should be giving to the cook in the kitchen." Meaning that really what determines the panim chadoshos is would they have increased the food? Would they have increased the simcha because of the presence of this person? So, you know, he said, "You don't have to tell me the value of every Jew. I appreciate that, but I don't know that everyone else does." So if the cook in the kitchen would have gone on that and would have said that we'll make more because of this person, then it's fine. So thus it comes out that the in terms of who could be counted, there really is a question, and preferably, you know, contrary to the popular minhag, preferably it should be someone who is at least known to the Baalei Simcha. If it was a total stranger, there are different opinions. I think the prevailing custom is to be lenient, but it's questionable really what that leniency is based on. Now, how many people does it take to be panim chadoshos at a Sheva Brachos? So if you would ask this question, the immediate reaction of every person will be, well, panim chadoshos is plural. Panim chadoshos, right? New faces in plural. So thus, you would need at least two people to be panim chadoshos. So it happens to be that this is a difference of opinion between Ashkenazim and Sfarim. Amongst the Ashkenazim, the minhag is, following the opinions of many Rishonim, that even though the Gemara refers to it in plural, but in fact you only need one. You only need one new person, and that's it. Well, that's all that's needed. However, the Sfardim base themselves on the Psak, which is found here, we have it here on the sheet, in the Tshuva found by Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam. The Rambam had a son, whose name was Avram, and he writes here, "Mekubo me'aba morizal," I have a tradition from my father, "Shehu lo pachos mishnayim," that it's not less than two, "kipanim loshen rabim," because the word panim is plural, and therefore, v'hapachos shel rabim would be ha'alocha shnayim. Okay, that the least that would be included in that would be two, and thus, if you attended a Sfardic simcha, and they needed panim chadoshos, you'd have to go out and get two new people. Now, the shaila is, one question which comes up is, well then, what type of person does it have to be? Let's say it's a child. So, as far as a child goes, the halacha is it would have to be at least a person over bar mitzvah, or that would have to count as panim chadoshos. Another question which comes up would be, what about, can a woman count for panim chadoshos? Now you would say, surely the logic should be that for sure, because of the fact that she enhanced the simcha too. You know, she came, she's friends, or the kala's good friend, or the mother's friend came, so they're very happy, or an aunt, a relative, a female relative came to the event. But the Pisgei Tshuva brings down, interestingly enough, I'm not sure I know clearly the basis for this, but they derive from the Gemara that the panim chadoshos has to be, that just like we have a requirement that it has to be said with a minyan, it has to be somebody that could be counted into the minyan. And therefore the prevailing custom based on this ruling of the Pisgei Tshuva is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that a woman is typically not counted as panim chadoshos, even though there is no doubt that the simcha would increase, but because of the fact that it has to be somebody who could count towards the minyan of ten. In other words, when you need a minyan to say the Sheva Brachos, so we know the panim chadoshos would count to the minyan, the chosin would count to the minyan, so apparently there is some basis to say that it has to be somebody that would count in, and therefore on a practical level, we only count men over the age of bar mitzvah. Now, another question which comes up before we move to the next area is, if the panim chadoshos comes, does the panim chadoshos have to eat, or is it enough just to show up? So this is a question which is discussed in the contemporary poskim. It seems that the prevailing custom is the best thing would be if the panim chadoshos person came to the meal and ate at the meal. at the very least, it seems that if they ate at least a piece of cake or something like that, a kezias of a piece of cake that would obligate them to say some sort of bracha achrona, that would be enough to trigger off the need to say the sheva brachas. However, there are those who are lenient and say that the panim chadashos could count even if they don't eat anything. In other words, even a person who just shows up, right, a person says, I'm on a diet, you know, I don't have any time, I'll come, I'll sit down right now, and I'll be the panim chadashos, thank you very much, I'm not interested in eating anything. Does that person count? So, again, there are people who are lenient in this. It's preferable that the person should eat something, but if it came down to it, it seems that the minhag ha'olam is to be lenient here too. In other words, even though the panim chadashos is not obligated in the benching, in the birchas hamazon, and the sheva brachos is an addendum to the birchas hamazon, nevertheless, the halacha is that the person does not have to necessarily be involved, but they should at least eat something. If not, we could rely on this lenient opinion that says that as long as they're there, that would be good enough, even though it's not 100% clear what the basis for that is. Now, another question, moving away from panim chadashos, another question which commonly comes up at a sheva brachos is, what happens if a person does not want to stay for the entire event? And really, this question comes up at weddings also, right? Because the truth of the matter is, the sheva brachos are said as an addition to the birchas hamazon, as we know. So therefore, a person who attends a wedding, really, if you partake from that meal, so your benching has to include the sheva brachos. So now the question is, everybody knows that the weddings drag on endlessly and people have to get to work the next day, want to go home, and it ends up that only the closest, the nearest and dearest, and the family members, right, are the ones who, whether or not they're included in the nearest and dearest, are the ones who stay till the end of the wedding. And the question is that permissible? Can a person pick up and leave or not? So here, there is a great deal of discussion, and it's not so simple, because just in the same way that if a person sits down to a meal where there would be, let's say, two other men, so there's an obligation of zimun, there's an obligation to bench with a mezumen, you can't just pick up and leave. You have to take care of that responsibility. And if a person sat down with a minion of people at a meal, then they would have to bench and say, Nevarech le'lokeinu shachanu mishalo, and you can't just walk away in that situation. And thus, the argument is made that one attending a sheva brachos reception should have the same obligation, and therefore you couldn't leave early without hearing the sheva brachos. So there is a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, an amazing thing, where he says that if a person wants to leave early from a wedding, one solution would be take 10 other people, 9 other men who wanna leave early also, and bench together and say the sheva brachos. Another, you'll make your own little sheva brachos. Now this, he writes clearly in the tshuva that you can only do this with the consent of the Baalei Simcha, meaning that they may not be happy about this, which could be understandable, but he suggests that if a person wants to do that, make your own. You'll take a bottle of wine, right, and you pass it around, everyone will have a bracha, and your own little sheva brachos there, and then everybody could leave. But this is not something that's practically done. I don't think I've ever seen this done. So, more down to earth, more realistically, the question is, what could a person do in that situation? So, the preferred thing to do, obviously, would be to stay for the sheva brachos. But very often, it's difficult to do that. So, one option that a lot of people rely on is the fact that they say, well, I won't eat bread. I won't wash. And therefore, I don't have the obligation to say the birchas hamazon, and therefore, I don't have the obligation to say the brachos. That is what people commonly do, and I've seen it many times on myself, did not eat the bread for that reason. However, that also is not really the best thing in the halacha, because of the fact that there is a mitzvah to participate in a Suda's mitzvah. If there is a Suda's mitzvah being held, a person should really participate in that. So you go to a bris or a siyum or something like that. There's really an idea that a person should sit down and eat. So what do we do in that type of case? So one thing which is important to know is that the obligation to bench with a group, let's say when we have the zimun, when we have the mezuman, the law of zimun only applies if you begin and end the meal together with these people. But if you didn't end, or if you didn't begin and end with them together, so then it's not really called ge'et with them. It's not really called the egg with them. And as such, there are those who give the recommendation that what a person could do is that a person, if you beat everyone into the dining room, into the after the chuppah, right, and start eating before anybody else, you be the first one there at the table, and you start to eat, and then you leave early. So it comes out that even though you're sitting together with everybody else, but your halachic meal, which begins with the eating of the bread and ends with the Birchas HaMazon, did not coincide with anybody else's, because you started before them and you ended after them. You started before them and you ended before them. And therefore you were not really, as far as this halacha is concerned, even though you were participating in this sunda, you participated in this meal, but as far as the obligation of zimun, and by extension, as far as the obligation of birchas, of shadow brachos is concerned, so then the halacha would be that you're not with them. And if you're not with them, you would not be obligated to say the Sheva Bracha. So that is one solution that a person could try. And another solution, which is also commonly done, is for a person to say, before the person washes, before the person sits down to eat the bread, that I'm not being koveya myself with everybody else. Meaning that even though I'm participating in this wedding meal, but I am not eating it, my intention is not to be a part of the same kfiyas, not to be established in the same way as everybody else is. Everybody else is going to be eating on a certain pattern. They're going to eat the first course, and then the main course, and then the dessert, or whatever, and then they're going to bench. I'm going to do it on a different timetable. I'm not with them. I'm going to leave earlier. And a person who did that would also have the right to go out before the end of the Sheva Brachos. This would be a solution to a shaila which comes up all the time. It comes up at weddings, it comes up at Sheva Brachos, people want to leave, and it's important to know this, that really, preferably, if it's possible, if it's not a difficult thing, certainly at a Sheva Brachos reception, the best thing is really to stay till the end. But at the very least, at a wedding, it's not always as easy, and it's common, very, very common, that people leave before the Sheva Brachos. But you have this halakhic consideration, that if you're together with them, if you ate at this meal, and you're part of the official wedding meal, then you have the obligation to participate in the Sheva Brachos, whether you like it or not. So in some way, shape, or form, a person has to sort of remove himself from that and say that even though I'm here, I'm going to dance, I'm going to rejoice, but the fact of the matter is that I am not officially eating the meal with them on their schedule. I'm eating, but it's not part of the official meal, and that way I am not obligated to have the Sheva Brachos. One or two other, there are numerous other considerations that come up. The prevailing minhag is that one does not give the chosen to recite any of the Sheva Brachos. In other words, even though you say, by the time the 7 days roll around, so you've given everyone to say a bracha, and he's the only one, he's sitting there, why not give him a bracha? So, for various reasons, the brachas really are going towards him, and therefore the practice is not to do such a thing. As far as the obligation on whom it is to hear the Sheva Brachos, a woman has that obligation as well. So therefore what we said as far as the attending a wedding and leaving early, there's no difference between a man and a woman in that regard, meaning that a woman also has the obligation of Sheva Brachas. Even though we said before that a woman would not be considered, would not count towards the Panim Chadashos for the technical reason that we gave, but the fact is that a woman is obligated in the concept of Sheva Brachas too. And therefore one wants to leave a wedding early, the man and his wife, both the couple, the husband and the wife, both have to take into consideration that if we're going to leave this wedding early, we have to have in mind that we're considering ourselves part of the meal. And finally, the last situation which could come up, it rarely, but it could happen in an out-of-town type of setting, where the Chas and the Kala have a flight back after the Sheva Brachas to get back to wherever they live, and the Sheva Brachas got delayed, and they're going to miss the flight, and therefore they say, well, we're going to have to leave in the middle of the Sheva Brachas to go to the airport, but we don't want it to ruin all the preparation and all the food, everything that went into it, so please feel free to rejoice even after we leave. So the halacha is that if the Chas and the Kala leave in the middle of the Sheva Brachas, you can't say the Sheva Brachas anymore. In other words, even though you will say that, well, you started the meal with them there, and therefore there should be an obligation, but ultimately the Brachas that are given for them, particularly so the last two Brachas, Sameach, the Samach Reim, Ahuvim, and the Bracha of Asher Baras, Asim, the Simcha, these two Brachas are directed towards the Chas and the Kala. If they're not there, so then you can't just say it, in absentia. So these are a lot of the common shilas which come up with Sheva Brachas. Again, I would just reiterate what I said at the beginning, the quote that's attributed to the Briska Rav, which is that the whole idea of Sheva Brachas should sensitize a person to the fact that the main thing, a major feature of rejoicing with Chas and Kala is the idea of giving them brachas. Is that then, and a lot of times a person thinks that my bracha, you get a bracha, you go to some big Hasidic Rebbe, or you go to some Gadol, but this is not so. Every person's bracha makes a difference. And in fact, we had in the parasha yesterday, the Torah records that before Rachel and Leah left from their father's house in Choron to go back to Eretz Yisrael, so it says, the Torah makes note of the fact that Lavan gave them a bracha. It says, Vayivarech Hashem, the Torah says that Lavan gave them a bracha before they left. So the Mefarshim say, why does the Torah tell this to us? I mean, who cares that he gave them a bracha? What is his bracha worth? So the Mefarshim has brought the Sepharno in his commentary on the Chumash. He says that a sincere bracha, even when it's said by a person like that, that a sincere bracha has an effect. One should never disregard the value of any person's bracha. So therefore, attending a simcha gives a little bit of a new meaning when one studies these halachas a little bit, to get an appreciation. One of my brothers-in-law, I'll end with this little anecdote. So I have a brother-in-law who has smicha from YU. He weren't under Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. And when he got engaged to my sister, so he went to tell his Rebbe the good news. So he walked into the room, and Rabbi Yoshe Ber was in the middle of mourning, and it was known that that's not the time to interrupt him. But my brother-in-law, because he was totally consumed with learning, he didn't tolerate that type of thing well. But my brother-in-law was consumed with joy, so he walks in and says, Rebbe, I became a chassan. So he looked up from his Gemara and he says, Mazel Tov. And he goes, looks back into the Gemara. So my brother-in-law said to him, he said, well, maybe Rebbe could give me also a bracha. So he looked up and he said, give you a bracha? Didn't you hear what I said? I said, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov means best of luck. Best of luck to you. This is what he said. I said, Mazel Tov. That's a bracha in itself. But a person says Mazel Tov and he means it, that's a bracha. A lot of times a person just says it, it's like the sacred Shabbos, how are you? It doesn't mean anything. But if you wish a person a good Shabbos, you should have a good Shabbos. That's a bracha. If a person says it with meaning, it takes on a whole different dimension. So therefore, if a person says that you go into simcha, even if you're not the type that's going to go, you know, give all kinds of, you know, you never had the ambition to one day become a Hasidic Rebbe, so you don't have the whole list of brachas that, you know, you could give, and you just, but even going over and saying the sincere mazel tov is a significant thing, which that bracha, according to many people, that is the main part of the simcha, is more than the dancing. The dancing is nice, but the main thing is to go ahead and give brachas to the Chasam Kal.